This morning's scripture reading will be Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you can follow along if you would like on page 1070 in the Bible, the Pew Bible. "And he made you alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of the body and the mind. And so were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord.
Last week I suggested that maybe you would like to read the whole book of Ephesians, and I hope that you have. It's only 6 chapters, not very much. And if you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to go ahead and do so. And if you've read it, I encourage you to do it again. It's one of those things that you never catch everything that you might find in the first read. So I encourage you to read it again. I will be preaching on Ephesians throughout the summer. And so we're going to start with this one as well. You see the sermon title. It says, "Dead or Alive?" Well, that's kind of a question. Are you dead or alive? How many people here are alive? Anybody here is dead? Raise your hand. Well, you have to talk about definitions. We're alive in a sense that we have our respiration and our hearts are beating and all the things in our bodies are working sufficiently that we can move and be conscious. But Paul is also suggesting that at one point, all human beings, whether they are breathing or not, are dead in their trespasses. And that's a serious issue. Because if we are dead in our trespasses, in our sins, then we really, as much as we breathe and as much as we think, have no hope, have no illusions, and really have no choice. We will live our life and we will die and stop breathing. That's it. That is it. And we need to let "that is it" settle within us. Because there is a greater life to live, and there is a better reality than we experience right now. And that better life to live, and that deeper, richer life and reality that we can share in, does not come to us because of what we do, but because God has given it to us. This is serious stuff, folks. It is serious stuff. If Christ is nothing more than a human person that walked the earth 2,000 years ago and was killed on a cross and buried, then that is all we have to look forward to, is this and death. But that's not what the scriptures say. And that's not what we believe. What the scriptures say and what we believe is that Christ is risen again. Risen. Christ is risen. And that means that Christ is alive. And that means that we live our life today with a different, deeper dimension than is possible without Christ. And to live without Christ is to live in a shallow, haunted place that is desperate and hopeless. And some are living there. Maybe even some of us. But none of us need to live there. We can all live as if Christ is alive. And we can all share in this deeper, richer reality and life, both in the future and now. Strange thing about sin. Sin is a really difficult topic to talk about, and you don't want to spend too much time on it, but I want to just take a little bit of an interlude here. Where in the Bible does it say God is law? Anybody? Does the Bible say that? No. No, where in the Bible does it say that God is a bunch of rules, God is a bunch of law, or God is law? Sin is not about keeping the rules, though rules and laws are important. Sin's purpose and sin's effect in our lives is to do three very painful things. Sin robs us of our innocence. Sin robs us of the belief that we're somehow kind of good. And reminds us that we're not. We are no longer innocent. At some point, we come to the realization that we're part of the problem. Sin robs us of our ideals. Somewhere along the way, the dreams that we have for the world, the dreams we have for our life, become shattered in the midst of the realities that not everybody shares our vision and not everybody shares our dream. And that no matter what we do, the Camelot that we believed was possible, the utopia we sought to build, is not available. And finally, sin robs us of our will. Our will to change and our desire to change. And furthermore, takes away our options. So that we look at life and we begin to see life for what it is without Christ. We're guilty. We're hampered and limited. And we have no hope. But the Bible doesn't say that God is law. It doesn't say that sin is the most important thing to know about. What the Bible says in 1 John 4 is God is love. It says God is love, which means that you are forgiven, which means that God has an ideal, a kingdom of heaven that we can't achieve on our own, but that God is willing to give us, which means that we can choose Christ and we can choose God's way. And when we do, we become a part of what is truly important in this universe and what is at the very core of our being, real. and what is true living, true life. It is so hard sometimes to know and to believe that Christ is alive. Oh, our faith is tested and it's pounded with evidence that Christ may be just a human being. But when we step back and we read these words from Ephesians about what God has done and what God wants for God's creation, we begin to realize that Christ is alive and that we too can share in that life, and that if we trust in that life and we trust in God's presence, which is love, not law, love, that we will be enlivened by Christ's presence. What is it we tell our children? Christ lives in your heart. Well, if it's not true, then shame on us for telling it to them. And a double shame on us for not letting Christ live in ours too. Christ is alive. We sang it earlier. Where is Christ alive? Not in far off places, not inaccessible to us. Christ is alive in your hearts, in our families, in our church. That's where Christ lives. And because Christ lives in our hearts and in our families and in our church, there's a chance for Christ to live in everyone's heart and in everyone's family and in every church. Christ is alive. Are you dead or alive? You're alive in Christ. And so you are forgiven and you're given hope and you can choose God's way. Christ is alive. Let us pray.